Well, hello, everyone. This is Mark. I am the Prepper Guy, and I wanted to talk a little bit about a few things because I thought that might be better today for what's on my mind since the last time we were together. So stick around, and we will get into some of the more pressing issues that are coming our way as America.
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
So first off, what I'm thinking about is this coming election, and not so much that it's about Trump or Hillary. Because to me, as Americans, it should be about policies and issues. We don't really elect the first woman president or the first man president or the first black president. We elect people because they want to push some policies or change some policies that affect our lives every day. Now, I wasn't a big Trump fan in the very beginning, but I had 17 people to choose from. 18, 19, if I, count Hillary and Sanders. But from the very get-go, I didn't like what the Democrat Party was talking about as far as their idea, their ideals, and what they wanted for a direction of America. And they were talking about social justice, which I don't even believe in at all. We should be fair to our fellow man as Americans and our fellow citizens, but that's between us and our maker, and it's not to be hoisted upon us by authorities, because that's a dictatorship. Then when they're telling you, you must love all people. Well, I don't really have to. Sorry, this is not an arranged marriage. So I had 17 candidates to pick from during the primary debates, and if I had had my way, I would have liked to seen a combination of Trump, Paul, pretty much all of them. If we could just put them in a blender and pour our perfect candidate into a mold, and voila, there he is. But we can't do that. I think physics says we can't do that. So I've thought long and hard about what it was I need in a president. Now, this is personal for every person. But what I really wanted someone to do was say, we don't need a new direction for America. That course was set over 200 years ago by the Constitution that is what we are as a nation. And the course is to go to always heading toward that destination in the future that guarantees more freedom and more liberty to more people. So they will use these issues as kind of a guiding thing. But they talk about them differently when Hillary says, basically, I'm going to make everyone think they're free and that we love them all. And she's really talking about use of force, because a lot of these issues have to be paid for. Well, what if I choose as a free person not to buy into this new course of action of hers or any candidate? Well, if their policies are enacted, then basically I'm forced to pay for it at the point of, a tip of a gun. You try not to pay your taxes or something, and they will come knocking at your door, and if you resist, you could get shot. So that's by force. They can call it voluntary all they want, but it's as voluntary as me doing yard work when my wife wants the yard work done. If it doesn't get done, there's going to be consequences. Unfortunately, when the government gets involved and the consequences are violation of law, then you can go to jail, lose your freedom, lose your rights. If you push back, you can end up dead, like we saw in Oregon. So I want a candidate that is a little bit more sane than that. And that's why I wasn't really too big of a fan of Trump, because he seemed to be quite a hothead. But the more I listen to his policies and what he's talking about stripping away the construct that forces us to do these things that have been set up for the last 100 years. And he's talking about getting judges, Supreme Court judges, to remove actions and laws that force us to be someone we are not. And I like that. But there were still things about him I wasn't really a fan of. And if you've listened to some of my podcasts in the beginning, you will see that I wasn't all about Trump. So I'm not the water boy for Trump. But when you look at this political climate that we live in today, right now, you see that there is a big apparatus, a machine, whatever you want to call it, that pretty much governs our lives. And it is not just the government. It is media. It is bureaucrats. It is people with badges and guns that can take our freedom and liberty. And there's a bunch of people ingrained in Washington right now that's very hard to get rid of. And if you disagree with them, doesn't mean they're going to just go away, because they have fooled a lot of people into believing that they're working for them. And I wanted a candidate that could fight against that, that wouldn't get elected and then just get sucked into the giant Dyson vacuum cleaner that is Washington and spit out after being whirled around in the twin turbos of the machine. I wanted a man that could hang strong and go, we the American people are not going to dance to that tune anymore, and won't bow down to peer pressure. And we've seen that in Trump. He has gone headlong into that machine. He has challenged it, and he has fought back, and he has been beat down and called every name in the book. I don't see that with the other candidates, not during the primaries and not even now. Bernie Sanders talked a big game, but none of his policies seem to resonate with the people he was talking about being a change agent to. So if he would have been talking really about some dramatic freedom and liberty changing things, I think they would have destroyed him a lot quicker. So we have Hillary and we have Donald. I can't tell you how to vote. It wouldn't be right. But as Americans, we should actually give our vote to the person that is more aligned to really not just what you and I want, but what is best for the nation. And what is best is lower taxes. Because if I have more money to spend, I've wanted to buy a new vehicle for the last 3 years, and we have a business. I haven't done that because of the uncertainty that lies in the business climate right now as an entrepreneur. I'm holding back to see what will happen because I don't want to wreck my credit and screw things up and lose my business or lose my home or whatever it is that I'm tied to. So we haven't bought a new vehicle for quite some time. I would like to, wouldn't you? So these things that they do in government really do affect us. The economy slowing down affects us. When things were going good, people were buying homes. Everybody, not just those rich people or those brown people or those people over there. Everyone was able to buy a home. They had jobs and they were comfortable in paying for those homes. Now you can say, yeah, but look what happened. Well, that was different. That was a different thing when they were manipulating the money and the mortgage markets and all this stuff. They were lending people more money than they needed, and then all you had to do was just go, oh, I'm going to get a second, a third, or a fourth on my home. I'll buy a pool, a truck, and all these things. And the appraisers would say, yeah, it's worth $100,000. Yeah, it's worth $150,000. Yeah, it's worth $200,000. Yeah, it's worth $250,000. So people were using their homes as ATMs to buy unsecured products and things that they could keep even when they lost their home. But during good times in the economy, people have bought new homes, they've bought cars, they've made wise decisions. They didn't just run like lemmings off the debt cliff and use their home as an ATM. No, during good times when we had a good economy, no matter if the president was Democrat or Republican, people did things. They invested in their families. They invested in their community. They built buildings. They built businesses. They did things, and they felt secure in making those decisions because the economy was strong. We don't feel that way anymore. So I'm looking for a person that can fix it from the inside, not just slap another coat of paint on it. I want things fixed. And so to me, Trump is that person. And obviously Hillary is not, because she wants to do the same things that have been being done for the past 8 years. She has said so. So I'm not just pulling this out of my rear end and regurgitating talking points. She has said She wants to continue on with Obamacare and make it better. Well, we don't know what that means, but if a contractor came to your home and said, you know what, just give me your checkbook, sign a bunch of blank checks, and I know you're unhappy with your house, I'm going to make it better. Most sane people would go, what's your plan? Can you draw me a picture of what this is going to look like when I'm done? Oh, it's going to be so grand. We're going to do this and that, and it's going to cost a lot of money, but don't worry about that because this is what's right. Well, you'd probably take your checkbook and put it in your pocket and go, I'll take a wait-and-see attitude. So Trump is talking about things, at least. You know, they say he doesn't give specifics, but if you actually listen to him and read his stuff, he has specifics because he's a businessman that has built buildings. There's a lot of planning that goes into that. And so he knows how to plan, and he said, this is what we're going to do. We're not only going to tear the roof off your house, we're going to replace it with this. And if we do it this way, it will save money. And then you can make the decision and go, yeah, that roof that's on there is an old thatched roof that's leaking like a sieve. And you're telling me you're going to take it off and you're going to replace it with a metal roof that will never leak and is more secure and strong. Yes. Okay. I can get behind that. But people won't listen to him because they just listen to the news. And the news is against them. So, like I said, this is not a who to vote for podcast. I think America has lost a lot of its ability to do critical thinking. We don't look at problems as a challenge how to solve them. We look at problems and go, who can solve them for me? And to me, I've always liked the challenge of trying to riddle and work out and tinker these problems out and figure them out by finding out what makes them tick first and then seeing what the maybe the rules of physics or framing or concrete or structure, how they apply to what I'm trying to do. And in that process, I learn a lot. We don't do that in America anymore. We follow the herd mentality and we don't look at things and how they will affect our lives. How will this election affect your life? You personally, all of my listeners, me, look in the mirror and go, if this person is elected and they do the things they have said they want to do, how will that affect my ability to raise my children, to buy property, to do things that I down deep have always wanted to do? Well, shit, quite a bit, because we are talking about a president of the United States. Now, everything should go back to the states, but we have state politicians that are as useless as ever. Congress has done nothing. And quite frankly, I hope that this election shakes up Washington to its core. I hope congressmen have to fight for their seats and senators have to fight for their seats because they've screwed up so bad that now people are looking at them and going, you're an idiot. So it's an election. It's time to shake things up. We could listen to the media and go, oh my God, all these senators, we might lose control of the House. We might get control of Congress. Who the hell cares? You know, it's finally time they're all waking up and going, hey, you know, if I actually stay and do the right thing, I might keep my effing job. Wow, what a novel idea. So these people haven't been thinking or doing or acting themselves. So I really, quite frankly, hope it shakes the crap out of the entire system to its core, to where when people walk in there in their new offices, Senate or congressman, they go, people are now watching. I should act in their best interest because look at that last guy that was like a big giant weed that no one can pull. Bam, he was gone because people woke up. So that's what an election is all about. We talk about change and we talk about term limits and we talk about getting rid of the corrupt person in this position or that position. But then when we have an election to where the president of the United States is being elected, which has nothing to do with state problems and the internal workings of the federal government, as far as you and I are concerned, it's all external as their job. It's like hiring a landscaper and everything he does is supposed to be outside of your house, but he wants to keep coming inside your house and telling you how to fix up your inside of your house. He's the guy outside. Go outside. That's what a president does. So then the media sits there and goes, well, you know, we could lose the House and the Senate. Well, I thought that was a good thing, according to the news and the media just a few years ago. Now, all of a sudden, because the guy they don't like looks like he has a chance of winning, all of a sudden now this is important that we keep the status quo? I think not. Because if you play their old tapes of just 2 years ago, they're like, why isn't Congress and the Senate stopping this or doing that or fixing this? You know, they're all losers. They all need to go. If I went back and read every post that I've had on Facebook that people have sent me, we need to do term limits. We need to do term limits. Oh my God, we need term limits. And now all of a sudden we have a presidential candidate that's talking about shaking it up so bad that people will lose their jobs. Isn't that term limits? Now they're turning it around on us and going, oh, you know, if you elect this crazy guy Trump, we're going to lose the House and the Senate. Oh, okay. And if we enacted term limits every 2, 4, or 6 years, we'd lose the House and the Senate. Big deal. This time these senators and congressmen got off their ass and actually told us what they were going to do for us and how they were going to work with the president for things on a state level, we might vote for them. And term limits wouldn't throw them out of office because we go, well, we like that guy. But no, now they're saying this is a bad thing. So you have to put on your thinking cap during this election. Now, I think most people have. And I really honestly believe there is a tip of the iceberg that we're being shown as the plebs that listen to the media and all of us fools that are supposed to just go about our business and do what we're told. And underneath the surface is a giant part of the iceberg that no one's looking at. And I think there is a movement. And so I'm not as afraid being a Trump supporter as many people are, but I think we're being lied to. So this is just kind of my thoughts on this. And it's not like we're learning a whole lot here, but I'm just irritated that the media and everyone out there will sit there and just lie to us. Plain and bold-faced lie to us because they have an agenda. And normally we sit back and go, well, that sounds like a good idea. Shit sandwich today and a cup of piss. Okay, great. And normally as Americans, we put up with that because we've been asleep for so long. But now it's time to wakey wakey. So you have to actually peel back the bread and look at it and go, hey, this is a shit sandwich. Hey, this isn't Gatorade. It's piss. What are you doing? And now the media is looking at it. It's like, stop being stupid and looking at your sandwich. Just eat it. Because I told you to. I'm smart. Don't you see my ratings? I'm always up there. People listen to me. Oh, well then, by all means, let me eat my shit sandwich. No, we're Americans, damn it. We have thinking caps. We just misplaced them. Put them on. Look at the policies. These are what they're going to do. If you work for a company and all of a sudden they enact a new HR policy and all these new policies and it's going to affect you dramatically, you would be worried about that, wouldn't you? Holy shit, this new management. I could lose my job, which means I could lose my house, which means I could lose my family. Oh my God, what are they doing? We think about it on these smaller levels because they affect our lives. But do you look at it on the bigger level? These people affect the life of America. And what they do will also affect your life, your job, your home, your family. We've seen it with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. I think he's glad that we call it Obamacare now because people don't listen to the name of it, Affordable Care Act, and go, what the hell is that? This thing isn't affordable. I had a shit plan that worked better than this back 5, 6 years ago. I had a high deductible. I personally had a high deductible of $5,000 a year. And once that was met one time for that year, everything else was paid up to 80%. So I guess you'd call that the bronze plan now. Now the deductible is $10,000. The premiums cost $2,000 to $3,000 a year when it used to cost me $600. So they're sitting there blowing smoke up my butt and telling me it's affordable. And yet I had a better plan dealing with those shit plans and corrupt companies than I have now. Thank you, Affordable Care Act. Business has laid people off because of that one policy. You may have lost your job because of that one policy. And people can call it anything you want. Corporate greed, whatever. That's where they tell you the problem is. Did Walmart force Affordable Care Act? No. Did Warren Buffett or Donald Trump insist on the Affordable Care Act and make it law? No. The federal government did that. And it's imposed by the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. You don't pay it, you go to jail. Did big corporate America do that to you? No. In fact, big corporate America used to offer all kinds of insurance plans that they paid half of for you. You got good deals, and they were paying part of it as an incentive to keep you as an employee. That's one policy that has affected your life. It has affected your boss's life, who might have had to lay you off or watch his children go hungry. So, time to wake up. Now, I was talking to a couple millennial youngins, the two youths that came into my store and were talking to me. And I said, well, you're going to vote, right? Because we were done talking about, carpet and tile, which is what the one guy was looking for. And the other guy was going to install it for him. So he was just getting ideas, hoping that he could fix up his house in the next year. So it wasn't, like a quick sell. And so I asked him, while we're just chit-chatting, you're going to vote? And he goes, the one guy is like, I don't know. Now, the other kid seemed to be a little quicker, and he's like, yeah, it's important. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's important. And I said, well, yeah, we have a choice. Lucky us. I said, you have one person that is a known liar. I'm not saying that because it's a talking point. I mean, the lies are everywhere. You can't trip over a rock and not find an email scandal or another document that proves that Hillary's lied. I said, so on one hand, you're in my store, and if my reputation is that I'm a liar, I cheat my customers, I don't do my job, I take their money, and then when the job doesn't get done, I take more of their money, insisting that it was someone else's fault, and I go, or you go into the other guy's business looking for a floor covering, and he's honest with you. He goes, well, I don't know. I think we could get that product. And then you tell him, this friend of mine's going to lay the carpet, so you're not going to make any money on that deal. And he goes, that's fine. I just want you to get a product that you like. I can point you in the direction of what it is I think you're looking for. You said glass tile for your backsplash. Here's some black tile. Here's some glass tile. Here's some chrome tile. Here's some brushed metal tile. That's what you told me you were looking for. These are the ones I have, and I can get more if you bring in a sample. Or are you going to do work with one that's the liar that's, yeah, sure. Yeah, we can do that. Can you get me this tile? Sure. It's going to cost you a lot. I'm going to have to order that. It's special. Oh, we don't sell you product if we don't install it. I said, would it be that hard of a decision? Are you going to go with the person that's actually trying to help you? And since the other person is a known liar in business, doesn't even have a Better Business Bureau rating because they're such corrupt people, I go, would that be a hard decision? And the two guys looked at me and they go, no, actually it wouldn't be. And I go, well, that's your choice. And I said, we don't know what Trump will do because he's up against a big wall of competition. We don't know if the quarterback will actually make the pass, if it won't get deflected, or if the running back will actually make a touchdown. But we know there's a plan, and we're going to go with them. Whereas the other people go, we're just going to set out the clock. Yeah, forever. What the hell? We don't have a plan. We're useless. So we talked a little bit more about it, and they were pretty interesting guys. And people talk about the millennials and these basement kids and stuff. I was young once. I know exactly where their mindset is when I was 30 and 40 years old. I thought I knew everything, but I knew down deep that I didn't know everything. I rebelled against people talking to me about what I should and shouldn't do or how to look at things. But down deep, I listened to them, and I put that in my box of thoughts, and I tried to get them to all coalesce together into a better thought that fit me. But I was very aware of the fact that I had a child and a wife and a home that I had to pay for. And so I might have acted like a insolent little brat, but I wasn't. But I kind of was. So I understand where they're coming from. People talking down to them and going, they're not involved. No, they're involved. Trust me. They're out there. They're thinking. They might be telling people they're not thinking, but they're thinking about it. I mean, granted, you know, this generation of working people actually work on the internet. They're doing things that are not visible up front, except maybe their website's doing well. But you don't see all the actions that go on behind the website, the SEO, the putting things together, the links and everything, trying to get enough juice for them to make another dollar. They're very aware of money and how it works and these things. So they're working. We just think it's stupid because I'm an older generation guy playing a video game. You know, I didn't realize how much money they make playing video games and posting them on YouTube until I did some research. And it's like, holy shit, you're making more in 1 month than I've made in my whole damn life. So I get it. They're confused out there, but they're concerned about their families, their homes, their children, their future. So when I was wrapping it up with these two Utes, I kind of had an interesting thought, which kind of amazed me that it came out of my mouth and it was fairly coherent. I told him, I said, look, you know, I said, a lot of what I see on the news is your generation doesn't seem to care. And by your answer of, I don't even know, and we're just 3 weeks out at the time when I was talking to him of an election, kind of worries me. I said, because at my point in life, I am physically, mentally, and financially okay. I'm not tied in to the workings of society anymore. My stuff is paid for. I have a business to really just give me something to do because I don't like playing golf. I could close my business if things got bad and be a greeter at Walmart, or actually work for less than minimum wage at McDonald's and pay the bills that I have left, which is really just food and electricity, which I could cut back to zip. So it doesn't affect me as much as it does you young people out there. And when I say young, I'm talking, you know, even, you know, 30, 40, 20s. You're young. You have homes, you have mortgage payments, you have car, multiple car payments, you have a business lease or a job, you have college funds and hopefully investments, and you are locked in tight right now. And if there's a change in that mechanism in which you live, it will affect you way more than me. Because quite literally, if there was an EMP tomorrow and all the power grid went down and there was just a massive panic, and let's say it wasn't the end of the world as we know it, you could not just go, oh, and walk out the door and be gone. Because out that door is your children, your wife, everything you've worked for and continue to work for is counting on you to be there, to go, what do we do? Oh, here's what we're going to do, son. Here's what we're going to do, mom. Here's what we're going to do. Because they're tied in just as tightly into this system, this construct called America. They go to school. They have cheer. They have all these things that they do every day, and it is their normal life. It is what gives them structure, whether it's t-ball or whatever. And they're counting on you to see to it that every day when they wake up, they have a clean uniform, food, a ride to school, a ride to cheerleader practice, a thing to do with their friends on the weekend. You are the glue that holds it together, and you're tied to the system. And I don't mean the system in a bad way. You're just tied to this system that you have jumped into with both feet and now work in that. You have a job. You have plans. You hope for a promotion. You try to invent something. You try to get something going with your friends, whatever it is, to make your family, your life better. So you couldn't just walk away tomorrow. And now it might be easier if there was an EMP, because you better get out of Dodge because shit is going to happen. But let's just say there's another financial collapse, just like in 08. And it affects you this time because you know, you're 8 years older. You've got 8 years into your career now. And all of a sudden it's a wrench in what your plan is. You can't just walk away. You can't just sit there and go, oh, well, I'm going to roll with the punches. Not if the corporation that you were working for gets shut down for some silly regulation. And all to save a snail darter or a little sparrow, all of a sudden your company no longer exists because of something. Some regulation trickling down from Washington has just taken your career, your boss's business, your stock portfolio, everything away from you. All to save a bird. Hey, it's a bird. We all want to save birds. Oh, do you? When your 401k, your job, your family, your home, your cars, your children, their schools, their gym, their t-ball practice are all counting on you, and you're going to actually look at the president and go, yeah, but we saved a bird. Give me a break. There's millions of people out there just like you that are in this system and trying to work with whoever's in charge to either save that bird or not save that bird. But let's face facts. When that big push from Washington comes because you elected these people, you lost your job because you chose to save that bird. That's your decision. Now, if that happens in my life and there's a social collapse that affects me on a level at my neighborhood to where there's anarchy and chaos, it's just me and my wife. I can quite literally, because I am prepared, grab 5 or 6 things, start my vehicle if it's still running or hasn't been stolen, and drive away into the mountains for a very long extended camping trip. And until things settle down, I can be safe. Can you? Because if the answer is no, I'm tied into this plan that we have. I've got investments in this. My children are going to school. It took me 5 years to get my kids into that school. I can't just leave. Well, then doesn't this election and all these elections coming up really affect you a lot more than you think? I think so. I mean, I'm 62. I've been around the block enough times to actually look at elections and go, who cares? But I've learned that when I said that, when it all got trickled down, I did care. The thing in 08 was apathy on my part as much as everyone else's. I was happy that people were buying homes and buying floor covering product for my business. But when all the people we had elected allowed this big Ponzi scheme bubble to be inflated, and as long as it was getting bigger and bigger, my eyes were getting bigger and bigger. It's like, yeah, this is cool. But all of a sudden when it popped, I almost lost my business. We're still suffering from that from 8 years ago as a business. Our community is suffering from that. Business people I knew went out of business because of that. They lost their homes because of that. And it hit me that, you know what? We are the people that put these lying pieces of shit in office, that we allowed them to sell us this bill of goods. We opened the door to the shyster salesman that came in and sold us and robbed us blind. We allowed that to happen by not paying attention. So when I look at a person like Trump that says, I want judges, the people that we pay to actually keep an eye out for you and I so we're busy working, we're not getting robbed at home. I want judges that will follow the Constitution because that is the government we have. That is our government. If you don't like it, move. There's plenty of socialist countries out there where they will tell you they will take care of the snail darter and your neighbor too. And if you look at it, they're right across the border. Go! But this is America. We have rules. You go to McDonald's, you get McDonald's food. Don't go to McDonald's and expect a Whopper. Jesus Christ, it doesn't work that way. So when a person says, I'm going to go to the basics, the judges will follow the basic rules laid out by the Constitution. Our economy will follow the basics. We will lower taxes because it's strangling the American middle class. We will do away with Obamacare and we'll come up with something else. And the media can sit there and go, well, yeah, but you haven't given us a plan of what you're going to replace it with. It's like, you know what? First of all, we're going to shoot that beast in the foot and kill it. Drag it off the stage. We'll figure it out. We'll replace it with what we had, which was better than what we got. And then we'll work together as Americans to maybe come up with a better plan, because this was done behind closed doors by lying, sneaky, snake oil politicians. So It's pretty simple to me. I want the person that is honest and crude enough to go into Washington, and when they say, well, here's the rules, and this is the Potomac two-step. Now we take two steps forward, one step left, two steps forward, one step back. And I want a president that just looks at him and goes, what the hell are you talking about? Well, this is the way we play the game, to screw the American people. And he just pushes the guy aside and says, I don't dance the two-step. We're going to play this way. We're going to dance for the American people because they're the ones that sent us to the party. And while everyone's sitting there go, well, you can't do that. I want a man that can look them in the eye and go, you're stupid. Shut up and sit down. We're not doing that anymore because the millions of Americans that voted for me told me they wanted me to do it this way. And you people are the problem, not the solution. So sit down and shut up. I would love to be a fly on the wall when that day comes, when all these uppity, self-righteous, millionaire congressmen and senators that haven't listened to their constituents in 20 to 30 years just sit there and stare at him while he bitch slaps that smirk off their face. That's the president I want. I don't want some do-gooder that's afraid to offend people's feelings. I want someone that can go in there and actually shake the shit and the sense right back into those people. So I should say, shake the shit out of them and smack some sense into them. I would love it. Why do you think a lot of these politicians are retiring, like Harry Reid and them guys? Well, because Harry Reid made a fortune off of that uranium deal. He knows that if Trump wins, he'll probably end up in prison. So I want that. I want the sheriff that just walks in and goes, yeah, everyone really likes you. Well, you dress nice. The whole town just kisses your ring. You're under arrest. And just drags them off kicking and screaming to jail because they broke the law. They're rich because they broke the law. They have power because they broke the law. And then the whole community will go, hey, you can't arrest him. He's blah, 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 and he's rich. And then as soon as the guy's behind bars, they all go, oh, thank you. That guy was a freaking tyrant. That's how it works. We want that people. We want that president to just sit there and go, shut up. Who the hell are you? You know, I want a president that doesn't have a press conference every time he feels a little stomach pain and he wants to talk about some saving a dopey ass bird. I want a president that goes to work for me every day, busting his ass, sitting behind that desk and making decisions that help me, not hurt me. Because that's what we pay them to do. Not to sit in dark corners and connive and sneak and take everything we own. They've taken our money. They've taken all of our property. They're taking away all of our rights. And if someone doesn't get in office and start changing it back to the way it was supposed to be, there will be a collapse and America will be destroyed. And everything I love about America and our fathers and our grandfathers and grandparents loved about America will be gone. Because when it collapses, just like Rome, there won't even be a shell of what it used to be left over. It will be erased from history books. We will be gone. And there'll be, you know, America light. And everyone will go, yeah, you know, just do what you're told. Shut up. Pay your taxes. Yes, sir. Do you love that bird? I love that bird. Okay, go save the bird. I got a job saving the bird. Oh, who's paying for it? Everybody out there that's working to kill the bird because we have to have money. It's ridiculous. I could go on and on about the heinous nature of socialism and communism. But hey, you have Google. Look it up. So this is what I want as president. And so I think the choice is really clear. I'm not picking on Hillary because she's a woman or because she's a Democrat. I don't like her policies straight up. No. If I'm given the choice of buying this car or that car, and she's trying to sell me product A, and Trump is trying to sell me product B, and all she's offering me is a Hugo without air conditioning and a piece of junk for four times the cost of a BMW, I'm not going to buy from her. It's that simple. That's what she's offering us. She's offering us historically proven failed policies, and not just with Obama. these policies didn't work when Stalin and Hitler tried to do them, because they're socialist, they're communist. I'm not equating her to Marxism. I'm just saying there have been people and leaders and dictators out there that have done those things and they failed. So I don't have to, you know, project my hatred for socialism onto her. It's she's painted herself with it. So I don't want it. It's that simple. It's a failure. It doesn't work. For me personally, in my life, I want freedom and liberty. I don't want that. If you're the person that really needs someone to hold your hand to go to work every day, just like when you were 4 and 5 and went to kindergarten and the crossing guard walked you across the street, then by all means, vote for socialism. But if you just want to be free, like when you first turned 18 and got your driver's license, or 16 when you got your driver's license or got your first apartment and you're like, I'm out of here. I don't need these people telling me what to do anymore. If that's the feeling you want, then you really want freedom and liberty. You don't want your mommy or your daddy holding your hand when you go to work every day and making sure you have your lunch packed. Because that's what socialism is, except they don't wear an apron. So that's your choices. And y'all know me, I just ramble a lot and I look at things very basically and simply. And I think most of you do too. So if you have friends that sit there and go, well, I'm not really sure, help them along. Don't get mad at them. Don't get into an argument with them. They're your friends. Just go, well, what's so confusing about this, Jane? What are you talking about? Well, you know, Hillary says this and Trump says that. And Trump said mean things to women. You go, well, okay. Let's look at the issues and have a conversation with them. They're your friend, for frickin' sake. I mean, if people had the internet back when Abraham Lincoln was running, and if they had actually heard what Lincoln said about slavery and what he wrote in his letters, I mean, he said mean things. He told his friend Horace Greeley, he goes, I don't care if I free one slave or all of them. What he said is, I'm basically using slavery as an issue to get elected and to fight this war because this is what I want or we need or whatever. That was his agenda. So I could just hear that, you know, if Trump said that and we had it on a hot mic. Trump says he doesn't really care if he does this or that. He just wants to get elected. Oh my God, that would be the freaking death nail. But Lincoln said it. A lot of presidents were assholes, and that's what it took to fix things sometimes. And that's what it took to break things sometimes, because we weren't paying attention. Well, pay attention, because right now is the election. This is the one right now that you get to vote in. This is the one right now that matters to you at this moment in time, not the past, not the future. This election and all of the politicians that are up for election and all of the ballots, this one is the one that affects you. This is the one to focus on. Because this is the option. You've walked into a McDonald's and they said you can have a McDouble or a salad. What would you like? You can't walk out and go to Burger King. This is where you're at. This is the election right now that affects your life. Make your choice. Think about your choice. Don't just flip a coin. Actually think about it. How would what someone said actually affect your life? If they were given the weight and the power and all the means that the federal government has to impose it on you, which they do have. So if you looked at it and your neighbor said, I'm going to force you to take that fence down because it blocks my view and the turtles can't walk through there. And the other neighbor is saying, elect me and I don't really care what you do because it's none of my business. And both neighbors, once they got elected, had the weight of planning, zoning, city government, all the police, the deputies and the sheriffs that could quite literally come and rip your wall down, tear your house down if they wanted to, and throw you in jail. That's the power of the person that, if they know how to wield it, can wield on you. Would that affect your life? I think so. I really do.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need, and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
So now I want to chit chat a little bit about, because I'm I haven't had the time, unfortunately, I'm sorry, to do regular podcasting anymore. And I've been doing other things which are probably equally as mindless. But hey, it's an election and I've got a lot of things coming around. So I thought I would talk a little bit more about other things that are kind of on our plate, if you're still listening, or it's we'll just call this part two of the podcast. So you can pause it or whatever. So like I talked about the last podcast before this one, you know, I've started the 72-hour bug out challenge and all that. And then over the weekend when we were down in Phoenix, I posted some pictures on Facebook, you know, just, you know, it's family shit. And it was, you know, on my timeline, you know, and I have three pages of, you know, Facebook activity. I have Prepper Guy fan page. I have the Sovereign State Project fan page, which is all about politics. If, you know, if I had time to deal with that. And then there's, the 72-hour bug out challenge fan page, which is all about prepping. And then I have a community, you know, which is Prepper Guy community, which is a group or whatever it's called. So, you know, there's plenty of places to vent and be sarcastic and make fun of preppers and help preppers and all that. And that's on the community and the pages. There's pages for political speak and sarcasm. And I've allowed my personal page to be kind of the catch-all of all this sarcasm and bullshit. And so, you know, there was a few comments on a picture that I was like, wait a minute. You know, not that the comment was so bad, but it was like a gut punch to someone that I love and care about, you know, just because it was rude. And so I was looking at it thinking, you know, these people out there that do that, you know, he's not a troll. He's, you know, a nice guy. And I've been waiting before I just be a childless little bitch and unfriend him or block him, you know, for some kind of a comment like, hey, my drunk ex pissed off girlfriend, jealous as she was, took my phone and did this and that or whatever. But, and sure enough, you know, within a few hours, it had taken the comment down, but it was like, it kind of woke me up on the social thing a little bit more. There, you know, there's a lot of personal information we put out there. And it can be used in many ways. And this wasn't an abuse or a use tactic. It was just someone making a comment that someone got hurt feelings wise. And now I'm in a position now that I must defend or argue or take action. So, you know, if you're at a party and there's like a million people there or whatever's on Facebook and you're having a conversation and someone just butts in and says something derogatory, you're now forced to make a decision. And I guess that's what social media is. So it was kind of a wake-up call for me on social media. So I'm thinking on, you know, through the remainder of the year, I'm going to start dialing back some stuff. And, you know, because there are outlets for all of us that think that way. I mean, I'm a very rude and sarcastic person, but not on a personal level. But, you know, I try to interact with people when they say stupid things and get them to look at it differently, but I don't sit there and make mean comments because I'm not a troll. So I'm going to work on getting, you know, I guess my friends list put in the right boxes that they belong in so my personal can be more personal and family. And I might just have to change things up. And I'm not that good at Facebook and everyone's like, well, put them on a list and do this and that. And it's like, you know, I'm not an expert. I don't live for Facebook or the internet or Google Plus or any of that crap. You know, I have a life. I work. I have a business. I have plans for the future. I want to go camping. I want to do stuff. I don't want to be consumed 24/7 of learning how to use this thing that's kind of fun. I mean, if someone gave me a camera and it took a 5-year college course to learn how to use it and was going to consume 80% of my time, I would just throw it out. And that's kind of where I'm at with Facebook. It's like, you know, if there's all these menus and submenus and helps and subhelps and come over here and click this one button, but don't click that security button if you want to do this, because if you do that, then that won't happen. I still don't give a shit. Facebook is not my life. It's a virtual life, but it is not my life. And so when people say things that quite literally affect my life, on a personal level with someone I care about, it bothered me on a weird level. I mean, I've I've had bombs dropped on my Facebook page by people that say the meanest things, and, you know, to my friends and stuff, but I don't care because it's all in the conversation that we're having. But this one, you know, I mean, the person was looking at it going, I could tell that it was just a gut punch. And it's like, I don't understand it. And, you know, there's only a few responses I could get from the person because, I mean, you know, I guess I could sit there and go, well, you know, I was talking about, you know, this little tiny picture that I was seeing on my stupid phone and I couldn't blow it up. And then when I did, it was so pixelated and I shouldn't have done it. Duh. And, you know, so, or I thought that was something else and I was commenting, which that remark was to you as a joke among guys, because we're all, you know, crazy beer drinkers or whatever, you know, or, you know, someone took my phone and did that, and I haven't even been able to apologize because I didn't know what happened. There's a few things that a person could say that would be okay, and you go, oh, okay, I get that. I understand that. But if there's nothing to say other than, you know, wow, I didn't know, but that was a dick comment to make about anyone. And, you know, I get people on my timeline and Facebook pages that, you know, do not have my same last name, but their family. And they'll make a comment, you know, on a comment and share a post that's been shared and a comment on a shared post that's been going around. And you know, someone will say something that maybe I'm connected to because they're my friends and will be rude toward, you know, my aunt or my cousin or my nephew or my granddaughter that I would be offended about. You know, if you were in my house and made that comment, and if I didn't feel like getting into a big screaming bar fight, I might just can shoot you, excuse my French. So it's kind of a mess out there, you know, because we have all these associations. And if I'm on your page and I'm commenting, and that's why I try to be really reserved and not attack people personally, because that might be my friend's great aunt that he really, really, really likes. And then I've now offended him and her. And now I've lost a friend because I didn't know. And really, it shouldn't matter if I knew or not. I shouldn't be that kind of person. We all talk about all the goodness and how we all want to save every freaking stupid species of animal and plant because we're so good. And we have safe spaces set up for our kids in college. Why on earth would we be that kind of person in the social media? Does it give us enough anonymity to be the real assholes that we are? You know, I mean, yeah, you know, we can talk about Trump's comment and he was in a bus and all that. And if it was really a rude comment that quite literally had to do with my life, I would be offended. But him, it's two guys, it's locker room talk. They're talking about people in general. And he never said without their permission, you know, which would be consent or non-consent. He just said, and they let you. So see, that wasn't a comment that affected my life any way, shape, or form other than making me wish I was famous. So when people actually talk about, oh, that was heinous and rude and awful, how could Trump say that? Did it really affect your life as much as if I get on your Facebook page and call somebody fat, stupid, or ugly, or goofy that you care about, but I was just too inconsiderate to pay attention? That, there's a big difference. So I'm half tempted to just start walking away from some of this social interaction. I mean, I have web pages, I have websites, I have email addresses all over the place. And I'm thinking, do I really need to put myself out there that much? Do you? I mean, we could interact through email, telephone calls. You know, we have the option to deal with one another on a face-to-face basis. So I'm not sure yet. But I am going to do some restructuring. And since this election is so important, I can guarantee you that if Hillary gets elected, things are going to change instantly and overnight. I mean, my presence will pretty much go away, because if that is what America wants, if the majority of people tell me they want socialism and corruption and a lying president and they want war and they want all the things that she is saying in her policy speeches, she's saying, I'm going to hold your hand across the parking lot so you get to where you're going. And there, don't you worry, there's a free lunch and there's a milk program. And they're going to tell you how to think. And I'm going to walk across the parking lot with drool coming out of my mouth because I am so pathetic as a human being to walk into that re-education camp or whatever the hell they have in their big plan. That's what this election will tell me. America and a majority of Americans are done with freedom and liberty because it's just too hard. Then I'm probably just going to flip my entire life mindset and go, I can't change it at my age. I don't care to. I'm going to start living my life. And everyone out there that has turned their back on the founding fathers are on their own. Have fun with that. You dance with the person you brought. And if that's the person they're bringing to this party, I'm leaving the dance. And I think a lot of Americans look at it, and I don't think it will go that way. But there is a lot of corruption, and there is, you know, Hillary whining about Russia stealing the election and all these emails. So the United Nations will be watching our election and Homeland Security, and they have authority through all of these laws that we as Americans have allowed to pass, that if they feel there's some hanky-panky and some shenanigans going on, they could actually void the results of this year's election and give it to whoever they think should have won. That is the box that we have put ourselves in, and that is the corner we have painted ourselves in by not paying attention. And Hillary knows full well that. That's why she brings up Russia stealing her emails every time they question her on it. Because she knows that gives the UN and the Homeland Security all the authority to immediately go, this election was a fraud. Hillary Clinton won. You can see the cheating. End of story. It's end of story. It's not like, oh, let's have a do-over. We get a mulligan. Nope. They quite literally will pick. And that might be the end game, or they might get Trump elected and then kill him in a week. And then we have Pence, who's a little bit more establishment than Trump will ever be. So they might be able to say, well, he's malleable. And if we scare the shit out of him, he'll do what we tell him to do. So if that's the world in which we have built and it has become, and we stand back and look at it like unrevealing our house that's finally done being built, and you pull the big tarp off of it and you look at it and go, what the hell is that pile of crap? That's where we're at. And if that's what's presented to me as the new America and what we've built and our generations have allowed to happen, then I need to rethink my entire going forward program. So think about it. I've rambled on enough. I hope you enjoyed this, and I made it a little longer. I just have a lot on my mind, and I could probably shorten it up a bit, but I don't really know. It's only an hour long, so I could probably go a little longer. I still got battery too. Not much. So I think electricity will cause this to come to an end. So those are some of the things I've been thinking about, the social presence of our lives and the political purposes and goals of our lives. And it actually has been consuming me since the last time I did a podcast. So you might think, gee, dude, you don't think about a whole lot. I had a lot on my mind, but it all boiled down to those things. So get involved. Don't forget about the 72-hour bug out challenge. It's a practice makes perfect kind of program. So just go out, bug out if you can, shut the power off in your house for the weekend, see how that works out. Do things to see if you have problems or glitches in your plan, and then that way you'll be okay. And you won't know you're okay unless you test run it. If you get a chance to go out and with your team or yourself and some camera equipment and film it, let us know and we'll put together an episode. The 72-hour bug out challenge cannot go forward without footage. And that's up to you. I'm not going to come to your house and say, oh, you've been selected to be the next contestant on the 72-hour bug out challenge. Here's your camera crew. We're going to fly you out, all expense paid, to Borneo where you can suffer for 3 days. No, this is just you and you can film it and you're the star. We'll put it together. We'll make sure there's some reach out there and we will make this happen. But if nobody does it, it's just another good idea that's going to go to the wayside. I like it. I think it's great. I'm going to leave it around no matter how big it becomes, because I think there will be people that will start submitting tapes going, this is what happened when I tried to do it. It might not be show quality. like Discovery, which is what I would like to happen, you know, to rival those big giants that think they understand prepping and survival. But either way, we'll keep plugging away at it. So there's that. And then just life. So as usual, now I'm just rambling. So you all have an awesome couple weeks or whenever I get back with you. I'm probably not going to talk to you until after the election, because I'm trying to change people's minds out there. I'm actually trying to talk to people every day in my business and who I run into at work or at the gas station that this election affects us, and it'll affect you. So I won't be able to get back around to this podcast, even though it's important to in my mind, until after the election. We'll sit down, regroup, and go, what the hell just happened to America? And maybe we can come together with a plan of action. I'm going to talk a little bit about nutrition next time and stuff like that, because that's what we need to cover next, and prepping again.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.